reporter for Politico.com who reported for us from New Hampshire when all the action was focused there. But now the parties have kind of split as to where they're going to be having their primaries next. And Josh, I guess it's all the Republicans making a big deal in Michigan tomorrow, right?
Michigan's almost the Super Bowl, right, for at least for some of the candidates, particularly Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney. I mean, he needs a win in Michigan to be competitive, to be able to stay on in the race, and that's crucial for him, but it's also crucial for John McCain, because a lot of folks have criticized his New Hampshire win as being fueled by a lot of independents supporting McCain, and he didn't get a lot of Republican support. So McCain also needs a victory. He needs to show the Republican base that he's for real. He can get Republican support. So, I mean, this is a critical primary. It's not going to answer any questions, but it could raise a lot of questions for other front-running candidates.
The interesting thing to me about Romney is he's playing the native son thing, because his dad, George Romney, was a three-term governor of Michigan, very popular there. And I heard one quote from Romney either yesterday or today where he said, "Michigan is in my blood."
Well, he's called Michigan. He's actually taken a pessimistic message about Michigan and turned it into optimism. In other words, he's called Michigan a state that's in a one-state recession. And he's saying he's the only candidate in the Republican field that has the skills, that has the background, that has the family connections to turn that state's economy around. And it's been a bad economy in Michigan, but he's tailored a very positive message to the state's electorate. And the interesting contrast between him and McCain is that one of the first statements, one of the first comments that Senator McCain said is, you know, these jobs in Michigan are not coming back. This is the reality. I'm going to give you some straight talk. Well, apparently he's changed that message because it didn't work. And he's actually polling behind Romney in some of the more reputable polls out of the state in the last couple of days.
So he was essentially telling the auto workers in Michigan, because when he says the jobs aren't coming back, he's talking about the auto workers, that you guys are going to have to find a new line of work, right?
He's talking about He's talking about the manufacturing base, the blue-collar jobs at the auto plants. But at the same time, he didn't tailor an optimistic message alongside it. He didn't say there are going to be new jobs. Technology is going to bring new jobs to Michigan. So, you know, while it might be a bad situation right now, it's going to be turned around. Instead, he was pretty glum. And in fact, he said it was straight talk. But you got to have some optimism with straight talk as well. And Romney has been a little more realistic. He's used his business background to speak very authoritatively about a lot of the economic issues in the state. And I think he, you know, it's a very, very tight race. But if anything, he might be a slight front runner right now.
But the interesting thing to me, going back to the native son claim, and of course, his roots are in Michigan. But in New Hampshire, he tried to play up the, hey, I was the governor of the state next door and they loved me there. And I know people in New Hampshire must love me as well, because after all, I'm a New Englander. How many different states can Romney go to claim his?
Well, I think if he loses in Michigan, I mean, even a close second place finish, he's got to start rethinking about how his campaign can last even into Super Tuesday. He said he's going to continue into the Super Tuesday states. He certainly has the money. He can spend his own money to go far beyond the Michigan primaries. But he really needs to start thinking about, if you can't get a win in your home state, and if you can't get a win in a state that once neighbored the state you governed, it's going to be challenging to win in some of these big states, which he has very little connection to. But at the same time, if he does win in Michigan, it does give him a lot of momentum. You have three different candidates winning three different states, and he's got to be considered at least one of the candidates in the big picture.
News Talk 1120 KMOX, Paul Harris talking with Josh Kraushaar from Politico.com, who's following all of these presidential primaries and caucuses. Where's Mike Huckabee in Michigan?
Well, Huckabee is depending on the evangelical vote in much of western Michigan, but he has very, very little organization. He has very little infrastructure. So he's hoping that a lot of church-going evangelical voters in the western part of the state can show up like they did in Iowa, like they did in the Iowa caucuses. The problem with comparing Iowa and Michigan is the turnout is much more based of activists in Iowa. And in Michigan, you have much higher turnout, much more independents, many, many more Democrats even might be voting in the Republican primary. So Huckabee needs a low turnout. He needs to get his base out. But he's polling in third place, and it seems that'll be a significant challenge at this point with a primary only a day away.
Now, Rudy Giuliani is still not in the mix on the Republican side. The one-time presumed front-runner in the race is still holding on to this strategy of waiting and waiting, and I guess trying to play it out in Florida and Super Tuesday. But I read over the weekend that he's had to tell some of the people who work for him, hey, would you mind not taking a paycheck for a while?
He's basically, it depends on whether you view that as his staffers voluntarily saying they're not going to work for anything or whether that was a forced decision. He's low on money. He needs some momentum to have fundraisers, to have some kind of optimism towards his campaign, and he's taking it all on the Sunshine State, all on Florida. The problem with that strategy is, A, Florida is a very expensive state to advertise in, so I don't know if he'll have enough money to really reach all the voters, especially after probable losses in Michigan and South Carolina. And the other thing is, you know, he's not even polling in first place in Florida right now, according to the latest polling out of there. He's in second place to John McCain. And I don't think he's going to get any more momentum up until the Florida primary. So he's thrown a Hail Mary at Florida, and it's looking less and less likely that that's going to be able to work out.
You mentioned polling several times. Did New Hampshire teach us anything about polling?
I think it's you never should. You should look at a series of polls and never believe. I mean, you really have to take all polls with a grain of salt. Now, there's some polls that are more reliable, more reputable than others, but to look at how many voters decided in the last day in the New Hampshire primaries on the Democratic side, it really gives you a little bit of adds a little bit of humility to the way you look at these polls, and especially in Michigan, where there's not a large history of primaries and caucuses. You know, it's really hard to say who's going to be a front runner in any of these other states coming up.
Paul Harris on News Talk 1120 KMOX, talking with Josh Krauss-Haar from Politico.com. Let's talk about the Dems for just a moment. It's pretty much Hillary Clinton and no one else in Michigan because everybody else pulled out. Now, explain to me what's going on with the Democrats and the Michigan primary.
Well, basically, the ballot in Michigan is Hillary Clinton, Chris Dodd, and uncommitted. You can say, I'm not voting for anyone. I'm voting for an uncommitted slate.
Now, who's going to show up to vote for no one?
Well,
I know who. It's the same people who participate in internet polls and choose undecided. There's choice A for yes, B for no, and C for I don't know. And the people who actually click that one amaze me. You took the time to participate without an answer.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And Obama and Edwards supporters are trying to get their supporters to show up and vote for no one. But you're not going to get people out to the polls to vote for no one. It just isn't going to happen. So basically, the more realistic strategy for them is to say, hey, you know, Michigan is really not a state we're contesting. There are not any delegates that are going to be awarded out of the Michigan primaries. So they're basically saying this is kind of a beauty contest. Hillary Clinton, hopefully we can reduce the percentage of the vote she wins against essentially nobody and go to the Nevada caucuses, which are much more crucial for the Democratic hopes.
And when are those?
And that's coming up this weekend. And that's a huge battle between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. I mean, they basically both have fairly strong organization in the state. Obama got some momentum when he won the Iowa caucuses, but Hillary was able to kind of close the gap after New Hampshire. And that's going to, you know, Obama's folks are pretty confident. They think they got a key labor endorsement in the state that supplies a lot of the voters that show up at these caucuses. So he's optimistic. Clinton views that as a significant caucus as well. So that's going to be the next big step in the Democratic nomination process.
And again, while we're talking about Mitt Romney hasn't won anything yet and Rudy Giuliani's been silent on the GOP side, John Edwards, you know, how many times can this guy not win?
And he's way behind in South Carolina, his home state. And this is the primary, the only one of the very few primaries he won in 2004, and he's losing by 20 points, I believe, in the latest polls out of South Carolina. I mean, if he can't win South Carolina, if he can't win the state that he was born in, he doesn't have much of a serious path to the nomination. And he's going to have to start thinking about, you know, am I going to stick on till Super Tuesday, and how much longer am I going to stay in the race?
Josh, what's your take on this blood that was drawn this weekend between the Clinton and Obama camps over race and Obama's past and Bob Johnson, the founder of BET, and some comments that he made,
right,
and even Martin Luther King getting dragged into this?
You know, I think it's a very risky strategy for the Clintons and the Clinton campaign to bring up Martin Luther King, to bring up for one of their surrogates, Bob Johnson, the owner of BET, basically insinuated that Obama's drug use again. And then you know what happened last time when a Clinton supporter made those same insinuations. They were fired. I know, you know, race is a huge factor in this Democratic primary. And, you know, to bring something like that up, I believe, is just highly risky. And for President Clinton, it risks tainting his legacy. I mean, he was known as the African-American president to many, many African-American voters. And if voters there view him as unfairly attacking Barack Obama, of bringing up sleazy allegations from his past, that might hurt his legacy. It might hurt the Clinton legacy more than anything else.
But it's not like you have to remind people that Obama is the black candidate. Everybody knows that already. So if any of this sticks, you know, the I don't think any of it sticks. I think that's part of the problem. I think even if the Clintons all keep throwing this stuff at the wall, there's almost a Teflon quality to Obama on a lot of this stuff that they've been throwing lately.
I agree with you on that. Negative campaigning carries a lot of risks, particularly in this type of primary. And you know, the interesting thing, the reason why, I mean, a lot of past Democratic primaries have pitted kind of a lower working class Democratic coalition against upscale, affluent, well-educated Democratic coalition. And usually it's the downscale coalition, the working class coalition, that tends to win. The difference this time is that the African-American vote, which is a huge part of that Democratic coalition, has gone from the working class and sided, gone from siding with the working class constituency to the upscale constituency. And it's a very powerful constituency in a state like South Carolina, where almost half the Democratic primary vote is African-American. And if that can hold, then it looks like it will. Obama does have some momentum and some interesting inherent advantages heading into Super Tuesday.
All right, so we've got Michigan tomorrow. The Nevada caucuses are just for the Democrats, right?
That's on Saturday.
And that's on Saturday. And then is it next Tuesday is South Carolina?
Next Tuesday is South Carolina for the Republicans. It's the Tuesday after for the Democrats. They have a different schedule.
Oh, good, because we don't have enough of a headache in this campaign season that drags out for 2 years, and we can't even...
You're going to be hearing a pretty nonstop flow of campaign news, I'm afraid to say, up until Super Tuesday and possibly beyond then.
One last question I have for you. You know, as a broadcast outlet here at KMOX and the other CBS radio stations, an election year is always good for us because, especially in a swing state like Missouri, we're going to have all the candidates from all of the offices spending an enormous amount of money with us. Television is going to see the same. I don't know if newspapers make any money off of that, but I'm curious about the online element. Are some of these big online advertising outlets, from Google to Yahoo to some of the others, are they seeing any of these campaign dollars? Because this is supposed to be the 21st century way to reach voters.
Well, we know for sure that political websites, any campaign websites, their traffic has been spiking at almost historic levels. So there is intense interest in this campaign. You can see it through advertising, through website hits, and even through the high turnout in both Iowa and New Hampshire.
What about Politico? Are you guys making a lot of money off of this?
I can't speak for the money side of things, but our hits have hit all-time record highs, and we're it's definitely a great time to be in the political reporting business. So we'll see how long that lasts, but the fact that there's going to be a very drawn-out primary season on both sides bodes well for us, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, us too. While we complain about it, it's a nice way to make a living.
Sure.
Josh, always a pleasure. Thanks for your insight.
Good to be here, Paul.
Josh Kraushaar from Politico.com here on the Paul Harris.